time now for Radio America, featuring the best in retro radio, those great old shows you love. Broadcast from south of the Mason-Dixon line, from the heart of Charlotte, North Carolina, it's Radio America, from the days of good, clean fun on the radio. So sit back, relax, and prepare to have a great time right here with us on Radio America.
Ride with Chris Reed in the thrilling adventure, A Pair of Nylons. The Green Hornet strikes again.
Michael Axford, reporter on the Daily Sentinel, sat stiffly behind the wheel of his old car as he drove along through the heavy downtown traffic on his way to the Sentinel building. When suddenly...
Super and Snake, something must have happened. Look at that crowd. I'd get out and see what it's all about. Hey, officer, what happened here?
Hey, big boy, stop your shoving, will you?
Andy, I'm not shoving. And I have as much right here as you.
Hey, girls, look who's in the line. Oh, what a sight he'll be in a pair of nylon.
Pulling me clothes, that's what it's all about?
A front-page story for the Sentinel? Wait till I tell the boys you were lined up to buy nylons.
Oh, is that so now? Well, just to show you, I stay right in this line till I do get to buy a pair. Now, what do you think of that?
Good morning, Katie.
I'm going to lock you out of this office if you can't learn not to slam that door.
Lock me out, you say? Casey, you better think twice about that. Look, got a present for you.
A present for me?
Yep. Here, take the bag in the office.
Hey, I don't get this. Must be some kind of a joke. And if it is, Mike Axford, so help me out. That's a pair of hose.
Nylons, that is.
Nylons? Oh, Axford, that's wonderful.
Sure, I thought you'd like them. Believe me, Casey, I stood in line with a bunch of crazy women just to get them for you.
Oh, why did you do that for me, Michael? Oh, after all...
Well, now, I was coming to work this morning. I spotted a big line of women pushing and shoving to get some nylons. So I said to myself, I'll surprise Casey and get her a pair. So there they are. They're the best, too. Cost top price. That they did.
It was sweet of you to do it, Michael, and I do appreciate it. But I still want you to remember, don't...
Yeah, I know. Don't slam the door when I go out.
Oh.
The following afternoon, Lenore Chase was in the office of Rick Reed, young publisher of the Daily Sentinel, taking dictation.
Furthermore, it has always been a policy of the Daily Sentinel's...
Hi, Reed. Hi, Casey.
Oh, what's the use? I tell him time and time again not to burst in here when we're busy.
It's all right, Miss Chase. Forget it.
Say no, Casey. Ain't you wearing them nylon stockings I got you? So you have on, look kind of wrinkled.
To tell the truth, but I am wearing the hose you gave me. Well, they're definitely not nylon.
Not nylon, you say?
That's right. I washed them out last night before wearing them, and this is the result. Now, they're cheap grade of rayon treated to look like nylons until they're washed. I hated to tell you.
Hey, St. Patrick. I've been just that I have.
What's this all about?
Ashford got in one of those nylon lines yesterday to get me a pair. He thought he bought nylons, but as I said, they aren't.
Well, maybe the store made a mistake.
Oh, I don't know about that, Mr. Reed. When I first saw the hose, I thought they were nylons, too. It wasn't until I rinsed them off that I knew they weren't.
Holy cow. It's a racket, that's what it is.
Could be, Ashford. I want you to go back to that store and tell them about this. Of course, they may not know what they're really selling.
I'll soon find out. So I'll go right down there now and face them down with it. And what's more, I'll get me money back or else.
An hour hour later, Mike Axford hurried into the city room at the Sentinel, where Britt Reed was conferring with Gunnigan, the city editor.
Reed, I've been to your office looking for you.
What's up, Axford?
Well, from the look on his face, I'd say he'd lost the good stories of the Clarion.
Oh, is that so now? Well, for your information, I'll have you know I did lose $1.85.
No, you won't eat for a week, I guess.
Okay, it's the money I mind. It's the way I lost it that rides me, Gunnigan.
Are you still talking about those holes you bought for Miss Kate?
I am, Reed. I got took in by a racket, just like I said.
What did you find out at the store?
That's just it. It was just a hole in the wall, Clay. And when I went back there a while ago, it was locked up. Nothing inside but a few empty glass cases.
That will teach you to deal in the regular stores, actually. You can be sure they're reliable.
That guy'll go in anyway to get a bargain. Then he yells every time he gets stung.
Listen here, you. I don't have to take that. Come on.
I was just thinking. The people who were selling those holes yesterday must have taken that small place just for the day to take advantage of the great demand for nylon.
Reed, I'm going out every day and hop into every lineup for nylons that I come across. And when I meet up with the little pin-headed guy that called me them ponies, I'll have him run into cops headquarters quick as the wink. That I will. The pint-sized little shrimp.
Hey, maybe you'll get a good story on the record of that, Mike. Go ahead. See if you can run him down.
Go to it, Axford. And good luck.
For 2 days, Axford wandered about the city, hunting for lineups in front of small shops. He found several and pushed inside to get a look at the salespeople, but each time he was disappointed. It was late afternoon of the second day that Axford shuffled along in a line that led into a very small shop, the window of which was plastered with nylon hose signs. Soon he was inside and approached the counter.
Okay, mister, you're next. One pair to a customer. What's the sign?
I changed my mind. I guess I don't want to buy
it. You're on the case, Mabel. Get rid of these and close the doors.
Okay, Harry.
And we're not as fast as you can.
You ain't kidding. My feet are killing me. All right, mister, if you don't want any, move on. There's others waiting, you know.
Oh, okay. I've changed my mind again. I'd take a pair. Any size will do.
That's a hot one, any size, he says. Okay, mister, any size it is. First pair I laid my hands on. Here you are. $1.85.
Right. There it is. $1.85.
Have the right change already, eh? Thanks. Next. Come on, ladies.
Now, I step just outside and wait till they leave. Then I'll follow them. Time enough to call the cops when I find where they hide out. I'll get them this time. Get the door to the register. Come here, Mabel.
What's the matter?
Look, out there, that fat, dopey-looking guy.
Yeah, he's dopey, all right. He's the guy bought a pair and said any size would do.
So that's the guy, huh? I don't like the way he's hanging around outside. Looks like a flatfoot to me.
Gee, Harry, do you think he's wise?
Must be, or he wouldn't have bought the hose the way he did and hang around.
Hey. No, I just remembered, Harry.
What?
Well, first he said he didn't want any. Then when you came back with that last box, he stared at you funny-like and said he would take a pair. Besides, he had the right change in his hand, $1.85.
Yeah, he's got a line on us, all right.
Harry, what are we going to do?
Take it easy, kid. I'm going to have to work fast, but I have a plan.
What is it?
You slip out the back. Get the car and bring it to the curb out front, see? I'll go out the front way here.
And then what?
Just leave the rest to me, Mabel. I'll take care of the nosy flatfoot, but good.
Meantime, Axford waited in front of the small shop. Finally, out of the corner of his eye, he saw the man coming out the front door. Axford turned and stared into the window of a nearby store.
Oh, see, buddy. Always warm.
Yeah.
The loaded gun you feel in your back. Be quiet.
Oh, Nico. Why do you dare to want,
don't you? Well, I'm out of your game, see? You're going to come along with us right now.
Oh, no, I'm not. I'll have you.
Careful, Flatfoot.
Hey, you knocked me hat off. Let me get my hat.
There's your hat. And if this gun goes off, it'll kick a bigger hole through you than I did through that derby.
You know, let's talk this over, me good man. After all, I'm
going toward that car at the curb.
Okay, okay.
But you won't get away with this. You half-pint crook.
Get in. You're sitting in the middle. This gun will be right in your side.
Come on, fat boy. Snuggle up and enjoy the ride.
Fresh games, get my goat. You're wonderful.
Shut up, you. Okay, Mabel, get going.
Fast.
After dusk, when Lenore Case entered Britt Reed's office.
Yes, Miss Case?
Mr. Reed, Gunnigan's raving because Ashford hasn't come back or phoned in. He was supposed to be back to take that political assignment, you know.
Well, Ashford knew about that. He usually comes back when he knows he has an assignment.
Well, Lowry came in, so Gunnigan sent him out in Ashford's place.
Well, good. Lowry will handle it all right. Strange, though, Ashford didn't call in.
Well, I think so, too. Of course, he may have been delayed. Well, I'll get him to you. Mr. Reed's office?
Oh, is that you,
Miss
Case?
Yes, it is.
This is Burke, headquarters. Is Ashford there?
Ashford? No, he isn't, Sergeant Burke. In fact, we were just talking.
I asked. One of our men picked up something belonging to Ashford over on 10th Street.
Well, just a minute, Sergeant. I'll let you talk to Mr. Reed. Sergeant Burke said that one of the policemen found something belonging to Ashford over on 10th Street.
I see. I'll talk to him. Hello, Sergeant Burke. What was it one of your men found?
Hello, Mr. Reed. I called to say one of our men picked up Mike Ashford's derby. He has his dress card inside the hat band, you know.
Ashford's hat? Well, that's strange.
Yeah. It had a hole in it like he'd been sucked over the head or something. And lying beside it was a small paper bag containing a pair of women's stockings.
Where were they found?
In front of a hole in the wall joint on 10th, just off Water Street. You think anything could have happened to Ashford?
Well, yes, I do. He was trying to run down a nylon hose racket. He must have caught up with him.
Great day. I'll go right down and look that place over.
Ashford spoke of a small, undersized man with an oddly shaped head. Pinhead is the word he used. Have your men look for a man of that description. Also, put out a description of Ashford and make an extensive search.
Sure, Mr. Reed. And we'll be on the lookout for that undersized guy.
Good. I feel that unless we find Ashford soon, Sergeant, he may not be found alive.
Rick Reed was visibly shaken as he put down the phone after talking to Sergeant Burke. For a moment, he sat staring at his desk. Then Lenore Case broke the tense silence.
Mr. Reed, do you really feel that way about Ashford?
What do you mean?
You just told Sergeant Burke that you felt Ashford must be found soon. If he's to be found alive.
I'm afraid Ashford's in great danger, Miss Case. If he's in the hands of crooks running that nylon hose racket. Sergeant Burke says the police found Ashford's derby lying beside a package containing a pair of hose. A derby was crushed in when they found it.
Oh, well, that sounds as though he might have been hit on the head. Oh, I wish I'd never told him about the hose he gave me. Then he wouldn't have gone hunting for those racketeers.
You did the right thing, so don't be upset about it. I'm going home. Keep me posted if you hear anything from police headquarters.
Yes, sir. I'll stay a while in case they do phone.
All right, Miss Case. Good night.
Reed went to his apartment where Cato, his faithful Filipino valet, and the only person knowing his identity as the Green Hornet, was waiting. The two men discussed Axford's disappearance.
Will you go to a place on 10th Street to look for clues, Mr. Good?
No, Cato. The police are working on the case. They'll find any clue that they might have left. I told Burke how Axford described the man they're hunting for. They may turn up something.
Well, what we do?
We'll wait till I get some word from headquarters. If they fail in the search, then the Green Hornet will have something to think. I hope we hear from the police soon.
Two hours passed by while Britt Reed and Cato waited impatiently for some news from police headquarters. Finally, the phone rang.
Hello?
Mr. Reed, this is Sergeant Burke.
What have you found out?
Part of the wrapping that was used to hold the plain little bag they used to put the stockings in.
Well?
By means of that piece of wrapping, we traced the place where them bags came from. A hotel paper house on Water Street.
Go to work. What else?
We went there and found that 10,000 of them little bags had been sold to a funny-looking plate-sized guy who paid cash and didn't give his name.
Well, that must be the man Ashford was looking for.
Sure. Well, we was out. We're going to go out and raid the place now.
Sergeant, you and the force deserve a lot of credit for what you've accomplished so far. I'd like to be in on that raid.
Okay, meet us out there in about 20 minutes. We'll bust that racket and find Ashford at the same time.
But right now, I'm more concerned about Ashford.
Sure, I know. See you out at the warehouse, Mr. Reed. Come on.
Goodbye, Sergeant. Cato, you wait here. The police may settle this without the aid of the Green Hornet. But if they don't, I may have to call you to meet me with the Black Beauty.
Oh, yes, sir. I'll be here ready. Where you go now?
To be on hand when the police raid a certain warehouse on River Road. And I sincerely hope they find Ashford safe and sound.
Brick Reed took his regular car and drove out River Road until he came to the warehouse Sergeant Burke had mentioned. He parked a short distance back, and within a few minutes, two police squad cars drew to a stop behind him.
That you, Mr. Reed?
Yes, Sergeant.
We're going to move in on him right now.
Good. I'll come along.
You stay behind in case there's any shooting. You're not used to mixing up with crooks like we are.
Well, I'll be careful.
All right, boys. Let's close in. In a very big place. I can see light shining through the cracks in the shutters. Have your guns ready, all of you. Take it easy now. Here's the door. Just an old wooden one. It'll be easy to bust in if it's locked. When I give the word, we'll bust right in.
We're ready, Sergeant.
Okay.
Now, get them up all of you. Three of you, huh? That's enough out of you. Boys, take Mother 2 to headquarters. Cassidy, you stay here with me while I ask this mug a few questions.
Right.
Oh, yeah? Look at all them bags stacked there. And I'll bet those cartons on the other side contain lady stockings. Bring them over here, Cassidy.
Okay, Sergeant.
That still don't see you got his orders.
He's got a carton.
See what's in it.
Yeah. Stockings, just like you said.
Sure. Phony nylons are a miss, my guess. We'll test them at headquarters.
Oh, what?
Runs this racket.
Never heard of them. I just... The other two are new helpers, see? So you can't get any information.
Look, you. I ask you. Right here to get the answers.
Well, Sergeant Burke.
Oh, Mr. Reed. Well, we got the three that were here, but it's easy to see the one we went wandering around.
Oh, I know. I think I'll go on back to town now. I'll meet you at headquarters later. Have to give the news to the paper.
Sure, okay, Mr. Reed. I'll do a little drilling on this mug, then we'll take him to headquarters. See you later.
Yes, Sergeant. I'll see you later.
Brick Reed drove along the road toward town until he came to a gas station where there was a phone booth. He put through a call to Cato and was soon giving him instructions.
Come as fast as you can on the Black Beauty. I'll be parked on a dirt road to the left, just beyond the Red Top gas station on River Road.
Yes, sir. I'll be there in a short time.
I'll be waiting. Hurry. You made good time, Cato.
Where are you coming, Mr. Briggs?
I headed back along this dirt road. While you drive me out to the old warehouse on River Road, I'll turn on the Hornet disguise. Get going. We haven't much time.
Arriving in the vicinity of the small warehouse, Rick Reed was relieved to see that the squad car was still there. He and Cato parked the Black Beauty in the shadows a short distance behind. Then they went on foot to the squad car and crouched down behind it.
Burke is still inside with that racketeer. The other two can't tell anything, I'm sure of that. The man Burke is questioning inside won't tell. He's the one we want.
Will you think you know a small man here will take Ashford away?
Yes, I do think so. Anyway, that's what I'm going to find out if I can.
Well, they're coming now.
Yes. I'm staying on the off side of this car till I say the word.
Cover
right on my right.
Now get in under the wheel, Cassidy. Just put that mug in the middle. Watch him now.
Hey, what the... Take it, you?
No!
Green Hornet,
where'd
you
turn? Stop that cold, run quick.
Hey, where you taking me?
Car back here.
Hurry, come on, hurry up.
You left the gun at the warehouse.
Here, car. Door open. I'll drive. Get in, you. Right. Get in. Okay. We leave in hurry.
Thank you.
tell me why you stuck your neck out to help me get away from the cops.
Maybe we both work for the same little boss. And maybe I have a date to meet him at the warehouse in about half hour from now.
Yeah, maybe so. How come you got there when you did, then?
Maybe I dropped past early, just to make sure it would be safe later.
Oh, so that was it, huh? Hey, the boss is going there in a half an hour to run into the cops.
That's right. Why don't you phone him and tip him off?
Well, he's got a phone at the place, all right, but he don't trust anyone with a number.
You know where the place is?
Sure, but...
Don't be a fool. Tell me where to go, and I'll take you there to warn him.
You mean you don't know where he hides, Danny?
Look, I'm the Green Hornet. When we had business to discuss, the little boss always came to one of my hideouts. I've never been interested enough to care where he hid out.
Right, it's your...
If police catch him, it's too bad.
Right. That little guy has some big plans for a better racket. But if he's caught, he might squeal about a killing or two.
Hey, I better show you where to go. Better warn the boss. Keep going straight ahead out the river road. I'll show you where to turn off.
Spike, now you're talking sense. We'll have you there or nothing flat.
In a room of a small farmhouse set back from the main road, the short man, Harry, and the girl, Mabel, were talking, while Axford, bound hand and foot, watched them from a nearby cot.
Hey, Harry, I don't see the sense in having Fat Boy with us. Get rid of him.
No reason for keeping him with us. With one of the racket, maybe he'd talk.
Surely. And when the cops find you, there's...
Oh, yeah.
If the cops should find us, we can threaten to shoot this dope if they close in. After we make a
deal with him for snooping on our racket. You're guilty to the half pipe. If you hadn't had a gun, you in that game would never have got me. I'd have shot that funny shaped head of yours off your shoulders.
You big windbag. Half pint, am I?
Oh! Hey, now the big stuff is passed out. What'd you do that for, Harry?
Must be Spike. I didn't hear a car drive up.
With the noise that big lug was making, what'd you expect? Open the door.
Hey,
Harry,
I killed
him.
Get
in, Carter.
Hey, what's that? Hey, some of this, Spike?
Don't
cross it.
Guys,
the
Green Hornet. I'll give you something.
Don't scare me easily.
Get down.
I'm not
dead, though.
I'm sick of you, short stuff.
Let go of that gun. I'll bite you.
Do not fight. I think not. I got gun now.
He's a fine specimen of what a lady doesn't look like. And a lady never bites.
What do you know about a lady, you...
Here, sleep this off, Blondie. Here's Axford. He's out cold, but okay. We'll tie these three up and untie Axford. Then you can phone the police. Later that night at police headquarters...
I can't believe it or not, I got reassured. First of the cards that bound me and wiped up the floor with the big guy in half pint. And the girl fainted from fright.
Is that so, Mike? Funny you waited all that time to get real sore, huh, Mr. Reed?
It's amazing to me how he did it.
Amazing, especially since he forgets we found the hornet seals on the foreheads of both them racketeers.
Oh, them. That's funny now. I just can't put the knife in me and figure out how those seals got there.
Maybe you suffered a slight touch of amnesia.
Huh? Stop kidding, Reed. The truth is, I suffered because of a pair of nylons. Now, that's something.
Radio America, broadcast from the heart of Charlotte, North Carolina. We hope you've enjoyed our show as much as we have bringing it to you. If you have any ideas for upcoming shows, or would like to be a guest or support this great broadcast, Email us at radioamerica@inbox.com. That's radioamerica@inbox.com. Also, we're pleased to announce that we'll be offering CDs of great old-time radio shows. You'll get 50 different shows in MP3 format on CD for the low price of just $5 per CD, which includes shipping. For more information, email us at radioamerica@inbox.com. We'll see you next time on Radio America.